WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
And it's a pleasure to be back in the good old seat, the nice black chair in Studio 6 and 6/6th. Which is right next to Studio 6 and 7/8. I'm Brian. Welcome back to the original show. Born at the apex of freedom, entrepreneurship, and nomadism. And freedom is certainly a place a friend of this radio station has gone off to. We're going to get into that in just a bit. The Brian's Beat quote of the day. I always saw politics as an expansion of my role as a mom. Moms seem to say that quite often when they get into something else. It was a part of my role as a mom. Never really hear dad say it was a role as my father, but whatever. I always saw politics as an expansion of my role as a mom. That quote from soon to be departing longtime Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. Well, you probably heard, if you've been listening to the station for quite some time today, the passing of longtime New Bedford School Committee member Bruce Oliveira. I'm going to put my 2 cents in before we go to Chris Cotter, who is going to join us. And over the next couple of days with this program and also Freedom Fools will be joined by other members of the current New Bedford School Committee. And I'll just add right now, we do have a new member of the school committee joining us during the 1 o'clock hour tomorrow, but that was pre-planned long before we heard about the passing of Bruce Oliveira. Bruce Oliveira was someone that politically I really did not agree with. But it's very, very difficult to put somebody down who constantly puts his body into what he is saying. So in other words, Bruce Oliveira walked the talk. And what else can you say about somebody like that? You know, he puts his foot forward. He volunteered, endlessly volunteered. And I think if you go to WBSM.com. Tim has a story up about Bruce Oliveira, and a lot of that is a statement that was written by Mayor Mitchell, who we also extended a chance to come onto the program and speak about Bruce. And one of the things that the mayor wrote in his statement is, what was Bruce doing in the hours prior to his passing? Volunteering, giving out turkeys. That's Bruce Oliveira. So Bruce, hoist one up for you. The best of you in your next adventure. And now, what I'd like to do is start talking to a few of the members of the New Bedford School Committee and get their idea. And by the way, if you have any experience with Bruce Oliveira and you'd like to comment, the number here is 508-996-0500. And with that, good evening to you. Chris Cotter, how are you today?
Well, could be better, Brian, but I do appreciate you reaching out to me.
No problem. Look, I remember the first election that you won. Bruce was also, I believe, running for his first real full term. I think that was right.
Nope.
No?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So what was that like? I mean, you two getting your first full term. Obviously, Bruce was there in an interim basis prior, but you worked with the guy for several years.
Yep. 10 years to be exact. And, you know, again, it's like I tell people, he was not only a colleague, but a true friend, a true mentor. Isn't anything bad I can say about Bruce. I mean, like you said, politically, you don't have to align with somebody's thoughts. But, you know, Bruce is just one of those persons that he gave 100%, 110% into everything that he put himself into, whether that's politics, volunteering, organizations, school committee, above and beyond the knowledge, the experience, it's irreplaceable.
Yeah. What did you think a few months ago when you thought you might be running against your colleague for the at-large seat on the New Bedford City Council?
Well, it was kind of funny because I had talked to him the day before. He called me and told me that he had pulled papers as well. So, I mean, again, we'd both fed each other our well wishes. And, you know, if it was something that either one of us wanted and wanted to pursue, both he and I agreed that we would give it 110% and may the best person win.
In your time working with him on the school committee, is there any particular project, whether you both agreed or disagreed, that you could say that Bruce was, you know, this is the reason why the schools have X, Y, or Z?
Well, I get that the him being the chairperson of the finance committee is something that, you know, he took great pride in, and everything and anything that came his way, he would delve into getting an explanation. Anything that we on the committee had any questions of the process or anything that was on the agenda for certain transfers or where monies were going, he had the answers. He had the magical ability to foresee or forecast what questions may come up with certain items. And, you know, it wasn't one of those things, I'll look into that, I'll get back to you. He had the answer, and it was always spot on. He knew his numbers very well. You know, and I think that obviously goes back to, you know, his real life job when he was younger. But again, the conditions that the schools are in right now with the new buildings and everything else, he has been a strong advocate, a strong leader, and these kids are lucky that they had him in their corner in the city in itself, because again, he was into cost savings and he would do what he had to do to get things done.
As you look, I think there's one more meeting before the changeover, the new people are sworn in. How do you guys proceed now? Because he had a couple of more years just like you do. So how do you guys proceed one person short now?
I mean, as long as we have the quorum, we're going to go like we normally would do. If we're short a committee member, we're just going to deal with what we are at a meeting, deal with what we have on the plate, on the agenda. And until that process is determined on how, I'm not going to say to be replaced, but, you know, as soon as the process to fill a seat is made available, you know, we'll figure that out as time goes on.
How do you guys get along without the numbers man running the finance committee?
Again, it's going to be a difficult seat to fill. The knowledge and the numbers that he had in his head were beyond my belief. So it's definitely going to be a challenge, but you know what? I mean, that's what we all signed up for. And, you know, he's been that mentor. He's answered questions. He's provided answers to me when I've had certain questions on different things throughout the past 10 years. And I'm going to have to take that information and go with it and see where it takes us.
That first meeting is going to be difficult, isn't it?
It's difficult today, and it's going to be a difficult week, and that meeting is certainly not going to be any less emotional.
I got you. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, you know, the only thing I can say is, you know, honestly, his pride and joy was his wife, Pam, his kids, Kevin and Karen. And he adored that grandson, Liam. could not talk enough good about that grandkid. it was very, very proud to hear him talk about his family. He was always family oriented and family came first, even though he was involved in everything and anything.
That, you know, so, I've heard that so many times over the past, 7 hours. It's amazing. Yeah. Chris,
go ahead. Your thoughts and prayers. That's all I can say.
I got you.
You know, it's going to be a difficult time for all of us and especially them. That's a huge loss for them.
Always is. All right, my man. Thank you. I do appreciate your time.
All right, Brian. I appreciate you giving me the time to offer some words.
No problem at all. Chris Cotter of the New Bedford School Committee talking about his friend and colleague, Bruce Oliveira. In case you are just tuning in, Bruce Oliveira passed away early this morning. I don't know the exact time. Our story appeared sometime in the early afternoon, not long after Mayor Mitchell put a post up on the city site. Bruce Oliveira left a couple of children, a grandson that you just heard Chris Cotter talking about. He had contemplated a run for the New Bedford City Council, but I guess withdrew his papers not long. In fact, I did not know that Bruce Oliveira actually withdrew his name because I thought he was going to be in the race on the preliminary side, and I found out after the fact that he had withdrawn. So, do not know. 508-996-0500 to get on to Brian's Beat tonight. I have been away for the past couple of days taking care of a few things. On Wednesday, I had to go over to New Bedford Voc Tech, and I was there, and because I had gone into an area where I did not need one of those hall passes that they give to strangers like me, I said, you know, it would be easier for me if I go out this way because I'm going to take the bus. And so the instructor that I was working with, he picked up the phone. He was going to point me down the hallway. And then he said, wait a minute, and picked up the phone. And he called what's called the Welcome Center. They have a Welcome Center over at Voc. And he alerted the Welcome Center that I would be walking down the hallway. And, you know, for them not to be alarmed. And I'm thinking to myself, well, why would they be alarmed? Okay. Then I'm thinking, you know, look at all the other crap that goes on in schools. So I am pointed by Mr. Medeiros down the hallway in which, you know, you turn right here, go through the cafeteria and, you know, voila. So I'm walking down the hallway and I go through the cafeteria and I look on the right and there's a door. I had passed two students en route to that particular door. And I see a quote that looks vaguely familiar. And you know, I do the quotes of the day, not only here on the show, but I also put them up on my Facebook. And so I thought, well, here's a quote. It's familiar. I thought I'm going to write it down and, you know, I'll put it up in a couple of weeks when I have my next available time to present this quote. And I'm looking at the quote and I'm looking at the author of the quote and I'm saying, oh, that's right. All of a sudden I hear the PA announcer announce that there's an unauthorized person in the building. And I'm thinking, oh, geez, that's quick. I'm unauthorized now. And all of the students had to pick themselves up from whatever the heck they were doing and leave the building. And I'm thinking, whoa, what have I done here? And so I stopped, you know, looking at the quote, and I said, well, I'm going to walk my little butt right out of this building because this is crazy. And I look up and there's this authority figure like looking down at me. And I looked up at him and I said, is this about me? And he shakes his head and he goes, yes. And I'm thinking, wow. And so he goes, go ahead, just walk on out. And so I got my little motor running, and I didn't run, but I walked right out, and I kept going. And all of a sudden, another guy looks at me, and then the guy that was up above looking at me walked down the stairs, and I said, what did they do? And he goes, oh, no, this is, you know, they're doing an alert for other students. They just, you know, just walk yourself out the building. And I'm thinking to myself, I thought this was all about me. You shook your head. He goes, yes, I did, but it's not really about you. We're doing a drill right now. All these kids, it didn't matter if they had a coat or not, they all had to walk outside. You should, it piles of kids walking out of Volk. I'm going to say it was about 9 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday. And it was cold, butt cold. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I guess that's the day and age that we're in right now. It looked like it was successful. I don't think the kids thought so. I think the kids thought, what the hell are we doing outside in this kind of weather? Whew. But I got to tell you, I was walking on the sidewalk and I'm thinking, these kids are going to think I'm the intruder. And oof, man, it was frightening. And if it's frightening to me as an older adult, what's it like to these kids? I mean, I understand they have to go. For those that haven't experienced something like this, it's just like we had to do with fire drills. Remember with fire drills, we couldn't go and get our coats out of the closet. We had to walk outside. No wasting any time. Just get outside. Or when we had to do the bomb shelter thing, and go down to the basement of the elementary school. You know, just like that, you know, no stopping, just go. Whew, man, I felt sorry for those kids. Because it was, you know, and there are kids at this school, you know, common sense, as the term would say, they just didn't have it. They're wearing shorts. They don't care that it's 34 degrees outside. Man. And I thought about that with the shorts. Do you remember? I'm sure there are many girls that remember that day and age where you couldn't wear pants to school. Or every once in a while you could wear like the winter snow pants. But when you got to school, you had to take them off and walk around in a dress. I don't know. Whoever made up those school rules a long time ago. Well, at Stang, they have that dress code, and I don't see girls wearing pants over there. They have, they're color-coded, and they're like those winter pants. They have to take them off when they get to school. Okay, 508-996-0500. I remember thinking, as I was making my way out to Ashley Boulevard, that these kind of fire drills, intruder in the building drills, these are the reasons that parents are going to be keeping those kids out of school, even a school like Volk. Volk, I look at Volk and I say, you know, for a government-operated school, they've got the best game in town. They really do. And I was, you know, having this conversation with one of the instructors, and I said, you know, actually, he says to me, he goes, our students do better on the MCAS, and then he prefaces by saying, you know, not that I really give a hoot about MCAS, my phraseology, but we do better on MCAS than New Bedford High School. And he says it's pretty much the same way around the state. The kids in Vokes do better on MCAS than the kids that go to the comprehensive high schools. And I'm thinking, well, why should I be surprised? And he goes, well, they spend half of their school day in some type of shop. And then they have classes the other half. And I said, that might be true, but you have to understand, the kids that go to Volk want to be there. You've got kids that go to a comprehensive high school that maybe they couldn't get into Volk, and they're kind of stuck. They're in a school that they don't really want to be in, and so they don't put as much effort in. And certainly when it comes to taking a test, they could really give a rat's you know what. And he said, yeah, I guess that's true. I said, if a kid acts up around here, what happens? They might get a warning. And I said, it depends on what it is. They could get kicked out. And I said, yeah, they could get kicked out. Now, it's very difficult to get suspended or expelled at New Bedford High School. And I'm saying New Bedford High School because of the fact that I was in New Bedford, and our first part of the conversation dealt with Volk versus New Bedford High. In other words, what I'm saying is it doesn't have to be New Bedford High. It could be Fairhaven High. It won't be Acushnet High. But we were going through that. And it's amazing. You know, I never really gave it that much thought, that students that go to Volk would actually do better on MCAS than the kids that are in the comprehensive. Well, I guess there's another way of looking at it. How many students go to New Bedford Volk? How many students go to New Bedford High? And then you have to add, how many students go to Dartmouth High? How many go to Fairhaven High School? And so would you start mixing them all up like that and adding up the averages, I can see why kids that want to be at a particular school, who are actually taught in a language that they want to understand, how they turn around and they do better. I was having a similar conversation with woman friend, and it got back onto the topic of artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence. It is amazing what is going to be happening with artificial intelligence and schools over the next 7 to 10 years. And what I think is going to happen is that the families that are involved in homeschooling right now, they're going to be the ones that start exploring with artificial intelligence first, and what they're going to be able to do. It was explained to me by a person who invests his money, his energy into AI. He explained, and I'm going to try to get him to come on to the program because he can explain it a lot better than I can. But he was saying that artificial intelligence isn't a better teacher. So in other words, even though they will be replacing a lot of teachers in the classroom, it's not necessarily a better teacher, but artificial intelligence is a better tutor. And I'm thinking to myself, well, but then when you think about a tutor, if you have a teacher in the front of the classroom, you name your subject, English, history, general, like fifth grade, fourth grade. Sometimes you grasp something and sometimes you don't. And the families that can afford a tutor for their child, the you know, someone who can teach that mathematics, teach that chemistry, that biology, that physics, the earth science, the English, the foreign language. That person is more the tutor. They can be pretty damn specific. Artificial intelligence is that tutor. And you can program artificial intelligence to, you know, whatever the language subject matter might be. And they can do it better than that body at the front of the classroom, because the knowledge base is there. But here's the other thing that the tutor can do that the teacher in the front of the classroom at the chalkboard cannot do. When that teacher has 10, 15, 25, 30 students in a classroom, that teacher has to teach to the whole lot of them. That teacher can't slow down too much for the students that are slower than the average and above average students. That teacher can't speed up for the students that get it lickety split and are bogged down waiting for the teacher to finally catch up to where that student is. Artificial intelligence can go at the pace of the student, speak to that student in the language that the student likes. For instance, take a computer game. I know this sounds kind of odd, but Minecraft. Minecraft, a computer game. The kid loves Minecraft, knows Minecraft inside and out. Well, here's what artificial intelligence can do. Artificial intelligence can talk to a kid in ratios like geometry or algebraic, whatever, and put it in terms of Minecraft. So the kid gets it. And thereby understands ratios, the algebraic formulas, whatever the equation or the subject matter is. And that's how the kid figures it out. Same thing with reading. And, you know, again, the child has to put in some effort. But what the real researchers are finding time and again is it's not what's going on outside of the classroom. It's not the playing with your phone or your, your laptop or anything like that. It's how the kids are taught in the classroom, because not everybody can fit into that square hole. And yet, the people at the front of the classroom, they have to teach so everybody does fit into that square hole. And so because of that, and as more artificial intelligence comes out and it gets better and better and gooder, the price tag is going to come down. And if I give you a price right now, a going price of about $20,000, you're going to say, $20,000, nobody can afford that. Think about that for a second. Nobody can afford $20,000. It's a lot. But here's what $20,000 is not. $20,000 is not the typical down payment on a home. $20,000 might get you a year plus dorm and board at UMass Lowell. $20,000 doesn't get you a new car. $20,000 with upgrades, okay, with upgrades, can get a kid a high school diploma, a GED, and 2 years of college. That's what artificial intelligence can do. This just on the academic scale. It can do a lot more. But just academically, if you have three kids in the house, and what do we have? 2.3. Is that what they say the average household is? 2.3 kids. So two or three kids. Everybody learns differently. Artificial intelligence can teach the 2.3 kids. The artificial intelligence can teach the grown-ups. Let's say the grown-ups want to do accounting or whatever. You know, study whatever they want to better the lives that they're living right now. Artificial intelligence can do that. So I say all of this not to scare you, but damn it, you should be scared. Because it's happening. It's happening before our very eyes. I'm just talking about education right now. You haven't heard me say much about the unemployment numbers lately. Well, that's because we had quite a few days with the federal government shut down. You can blame the Republicans, you can blame the Democrats, you can blame the MAGA Trump. We don't have those numbers. But unemployment had been going up every month. And so it's reasonable to believe that many people aren't getting the kind of job that they want because of artificial intelligence. I think many of the kids over at Volk probably have an idea that that's coming in. So that's why they're trying to figure out what's the best thing to do with my hands before artificial intelligence can learn how to do that. But it's here. And maybe I should be glad that I'm at the age that I'm at. I was talking to a bus driver friend of mine on Wednesday or Thursday. I don't remember which day it was. But I asked her, I said, are you over 55? And she answered that she was. And I said, it's a good thing. Chances are they're not going to be taking over your bus before you're set to retire. I just say all of that because artificial intelligence is here. We can learn to adapt to it, try to get as familiar with it as possible, and try to figure out how it can enhance our lives instead of letting it take over our life.
If we lose the midterms and we lose 2028, some in this room are going to prison, myself included.
This is WBSM.
People ask all the time, who the heck is low-cost airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone. We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rates you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now. 800-221-6085. 800-221-6085. 800-221-6085. That's 800-221-6085.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
She has everything and she'll give it to you in So, Secretary Noem, what is habeas corpus?
Well, habeas corpus is a constitutional right that the president has to be able to remove people from this country
That's incorrect. Habeas corpus is the legal principle that requires that the government provide a public reason for detaining and imprisoning people.
But don't try to tell that to the Director of Homeland Security. You would think that she would know, but what do I know? 508-996-0500. Thank you and good evening.
Hey, Brian, I'm reiterating, last week I called in while you were talking about AI.
Yes.
And I just heard the last little bit. I was cooking dinner, so I missed a lot of your show.
What are we having tonight?
We're having a ribeye and some mashed potatoes. I do something good. Besides that, I'm eating vegetables all week and salads and sardines.
Sardines? Oh, God, what's wrong with you?
Well, they tell me they're good for me, and my doctor says that things have been looking better, so I'm going to keep up with it.
Okay, but the other stuff. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
No. I heard what I did hear was you talking about the AI again, and then you said something along the lines of, I'm not sure I'm quoting you, but you're scared or you're worried.
I think there's reason to be worried, not necessarily just for myself, but I'm worried. I've got two kids. One is a government school teacher, and I don't know how he's going to react to all of that. The other son, I think, is in a different kind of a position, and he might be able to maneuver around it. But I think outside of my family, I think that there's going to be so much chaos that people really don't know how to respond. And when people don't know how to respond, there is a reason for any and everybody to be worried.
Brian, I agree 100%. And the whole group that I work with, we do a lot of computational physics, mathematics, programming, and we use AI to speed things up for us.
Mm-hmm.
But every single one of us is completely terrified. Terrified. And if I wasn't on the radio with you and I was just talking to you in the parking lot or something, I would drop the mother of all words before terrified.
Yeah, right.
we are. And what bothers us the most is that we use it and we evaluate what we get from it. But I'm going to put it out there and say that 95%+ of people that are using the AI don't evaluate it. Maybe they don't have the skills to evaluate. Maybe they don't have the knowledge to evaluate it, but they're not evaluating it. And they're taking what it is for what it's worth. And they think it's worth 100%, and it's not. And
what do you mean? Can you explain that, please?
Yeah, okay. Let me try to. I don't know if I can, but I'll try to. So maybe I have to write a computer routine to solve a problem. And I know that if I just buckle down and work on it, it's probably going to take me a week or two to solve it. I can ask Google Gemini. Google Gemini has a collab feature that helps you with computer coding. I can ask that. If I ask it the right questions, it's going to give me some very beautiful code. If I don't ask it the right questions, it's going to give me some nonsense.
Mm.
So if I don't know what I'm doing and I'm just asking AI to help me solve a problem, maybe it solves a problem, maybe it doesn't. But if I can't evaluate, if I don't have the skills or knowledge to evaluate the information that the AI has given me, well, it could be completely wrong, right? And so now you got millions of people using AI to solve problems for them, and the solutions could or could not be, or they could be close. You know,
I think to back that up just a little, if they don't do any kind of follow up, they don't know if they've got the correct answer or not.
Yeah. It's that mother of all words, scary, terrifying, whatever. And Brian, the thing is in the real world, you got to get it right. Clothes only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
I know that. So, you know, I'm not sure that I'm going to get it all, but what I'm going to try to do is bring on at least once a week somebody dealing with AI to, you know, give me a better knowledge and, you know, by having them on the radio, others a better idea of what we are facing and try to bring it from a few different angles. Hey, thank you. I do appreciate your call and enjoy the ribeye.
Hold on real quick, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
For the community, if you'd ever just like to meet up and see who I am and talk to me, I can show you my resume. I can show you what I do. I'd be willing to come on to your show, and I'd also be willing to find some other people that know about this that will also come on to your show, and we can have a good discussion about it.
Sounds
primo. You got my number. I know you have my number.
Actually, I don't.
You're welcome to call me anytime.
I don't, but
do you
know how to get a hold of us through the app chat?
I can do that.
Okay, app chat it to me.
I will.
All right, man. Thank you. And I appreciate the offer.
Good night, Brian.
Night to you. Enjoy that meal. Sounds like it's going to be pretty good. I could use a ribeye right now. Hello.
Good evening, Brian.
Good evening, Brian.
How's the seagull there, the eagle?
It's here.
Well, it fits perfect for these times. But into AI, is that like what they're doing on the computer where you see, like, say, Bruce Lee versus Muhammad Ali, and it looks just like him?
I suppose, I don't know the one that you're talking about, but I noticed, you know, the previous caller brought up the Gemini. Gemini is an AI-type program, and it's popping up every, you know, whether I want to see it on my computer or not, it pops up all the time.
They got Obama out there talking about Donald Trump. That's not really Obama. And they got,
there are a variety of ways to use AI, but AI can also be a robot.
Yeah.
AI is, it's a lot. The primitive AI is the computer.
Yeah.
Okay. So just to give you an idea.
So in about 5 years, we're going to have Terminators running around. I don't know about Terminators yet, but we'll have Robocop running around.
Well, I think you're probably going down a good road like that, because if you think about it, if you can build an army of and a navy for maybe $10 billion, as opposed to the amount of money and the lives that are lost with a human army and navy, what do you think the people would be more willing to go with?
Artificial intelligence.
There you go. Your Terminators.
Yeah, people would be, they were predicting this in the 60s.
Yeah.
That some people would be, probably not the same way, but back then, it'll be somebody sitting behind, like Westworld, sitting behind the controllers there, and the robots running around.
I think you're apt. Look, it's here. It isn't mass produced yet, but it's here, and it's only going to get better. It's like I was saying about energy. The day of using gas and stuff like that, slowly we're getting out of it. People complaining about Teslas today, and rightfully so. But you know what? We didn't go back to the horse because the first few cars started pooping the bed. So
yeah,
we're there. We're going in kicking and screaming.
And then the other stuff going on. I'm not even bringing them up. That's despicable. We'll see what happens. But if you actually like that guy, there's something wrong with you.
What guy? You talking about Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Well, I think people like him, and there are people that, absolutely despise him.
It's on the rise now. His ratings are really going underwater. There's people that voted for him that now they're like, I don't like him. And then you still get the people with the hats on.
You know, I don't care for Donald Trump, wouldn't vote for Donald Trump. But I got to tell you, at this time during Biden's first term, he was going down the polls, too.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. They're electing unqualified people. They need to start changing this.
Well, you know what? It's easy to say that. And as a person who tries to encourage people to vote for third-party candidates, voting for somebody that you want as opposed to the lesser of two or three evils, people don't want to hear that. They'd rather vote for somebody because they think if they don't, the other person that they really don't want is going to win. And so we're stuck in a nation and certainly in a commonwealth that feels exactly like that. Hey, I'm going to let you go only because of time. I'm looking at the clock and it's almost tea time.
All right, play the Eagle really quick. I'll talk to you later.
It's coming up. Thank you very much. This is Brian. You're listening to Brian's Beat.
This is an act of terror.
WBSM.
The government may be shut down. Legitimate business funding remains open. See for yourself at legitimatebusinessfunders.com. Legitimatebusinessfunders.com.
Back to Brian's Beat.
Painful to see what a ruinous decision from back in the 1920s being repeated.
I want to thank Chris Cotter and, of course, your calls for being a part of the program tonight. We'll do it tomorrow. Rick Porter, newly elected to the New Bedford School Committee, joins us when we come out of the box at